Everyone, here's a brand new program. It's Once Upon Our Time with Jack Kilty.
Oh, my name is Jack Kilty. I bid you good day, and I thank you for letting me wander your way with songs and with stories both tender and gay. I oodle, I oodle, I oodle, I ay.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, with this funny little theme song, NBC's young baritone Jack Kilty comes to you with the first of a series of his own programs. 15 minutes a day of fine old songs and human interest stories. True stories that happened once upon our time.
I'll be loving you always, with a love that's true, always. When the things you've planned need a helping hand, I will understand, always. Irving Berlin wrote these words more than two decades ago, wrote them for someone he loved. Two other people, the people in today's story, have lived by the meaning of those words for more than three decades. Hans, that's his name, and Gertrude, his wife, are two people you are more likely to come across in romantic novels than in everyday life. They're spending their last days together down in Louisiana. Why? Well, that's the reason I'm telling you their story. That's the reason there's a story to tell. Because Hans and Gertrude have lived their life together as a love song. A love song which might have been written, well, by Grieg, for instance.
The fondest thought of all my thoughts is for you. You are my heart's first love and ecstasy. I love but you and tenderly adore you. I love but you, I love but you, I love but you for all eternity. I love but you for all eternity.
Love story. And once upon our time, it made newspaper headlines. But it began long before a newspaper reporter sent it across the wires. It began in 1913 on a tiny remote island in the South Pacific, practically no one ever heard of in those days, the island of Guam. Hans was at that time a sergeant in the United States Marines. Gertrude was the daughter of a retired Prussian officer. The sergeant and his lady met by accident on the island's gently rolling tropical beach. And, by accident, they found they had a lot of things in common. Their second meeting, however, was not accidental. For you see, the sergeant had fallen in love. And the slim blonde girl was far from indifferent to the handsome American. So, 3 weeks later, they decided to get married. But it wasn't as simple as all that. Gertrude's Prussian father said, "Mm-mm, nothing doing." No daughter of his was going to marry an American, and especially a mere enlisted man. Well, you know, obstinacy runs in families. Papa was adamant, but daughter was equally determined. And so, one night she stole down to the beach where a canoe was waiting, and at a nearby island, they were married by a Navy chaplain. The sun was already beginning to rise when the sergeant and his wife paddled away into the rolling breakers. And from the beach, a love song followed them to the open sea. The traditional aloha.
Dwells among
December 1941, Hans, now a civilian mining engineer, his wife, and their three children were living in the Philippines. The couple could look back upon a rich and happy life. They were husband and wife, but more than that, they were friends and companions, always sharing their problems, their joys and sorrows. And were it not for the war, and especially their devotion to each other, I wouldn't be telling their story today. On the day Pearl Harbor was attacked, Hans joined the Army Engineers. For 6 bitter months, he fought under MacArthur's command. And then came Bataan, Corregidor, defeat, and the death march. Gertrude could have had her freedom then. Her German brother offered to intercede in her behalf, and the Japs were willing to release her in his custody. Instead, she chose to follow her husband into internment. They lived in different parts of the prison. Seldom saw each other. And when they did, Gertrude never once mentioned that she was ill, that she had contracted a disease she couldn't understand, whose symptoms were completely strange to her. For 3 long years, she waited patiently for the day of liberation, her only source of strength, the faith she learned at her mother's knee.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power.
After their liberation, Hans and Gertrude came to the United States for a holiday. But Gertrude was now really ill, too sick to enjoy the new freedom she'd longed for through the years of imprisonment. Hans took her to the Letterman Hospital in San Francisco for a checkup. It turned out to be a lengthy examination. And when the doctors were through, they took Hans aside and gently broke to him the news he least expected to hear. The terrible verdict which had made men cringe for centuries. Gertrude, the doctors told the dazed husband, had leprosy. Leprosy. She'd have to go to Carville, to the leprosarium, spend the rest of her life alone. She could see her husband occasionally, but only from behind a glass partition. Yes, the news was shocking, and Hans and Gertrude, their last name is Hornbustle, as you've probably guessed, Hans and Gertrude were momentarily stunned, but only momentarily, for it was 2 days later that a request came to the United States Surgeon General, the only request like it ever made. The brass hats in Washington scratched their heads. They looked up the rules and found the request violated regulations. But being human beings as well as officials, they finally gave in and granted the major's wish to follow his wife into the leprosarium. And so when Gertrude started on her way to Carville, her husband was with her on the same train. They were together at last, and there was a song in their hearts, a love song written years ago as an expression of a great love, but with a new meaning today.
I'll be loving you always, with a love that's true always. When the things you've planned need a helping hand, I will understand. There always, that's when I'll be there always, not for just an hour, not for just a day, not for just a year, but always.
The Major and his wife are now spending their last days together in Carville. But far from being depressed or despondent, they're planning a happy future together. It was only a month ago, the Major said. I don't consider myself any martyr by asking to be with her as long as we both shall live. I'd be unhappy without her, and she'd be unhappy without me. And that's all there is to it. And the Major's wife, looking at her husband, devotedly replied, We'll ask for a little garden plot and work together on it. Please don't feel sorry for us, for you see, as long as we're together, we shall be happy. And now our story is over. But I'd like to add a postscript. Good luck, Major and Mrs. Hornbostel. It is very rarely that one comes across such courage and devotion. You have given the love song a beauty beyond its purpose. The words have meaning beyond the printed page, beyond the simple title, Dedication, which is meant for you.
Oh, thank me not for what I sing thee. Thine are the songs, no gift of mine. Thou givest them me, I but return thee what is and ever shall be. Truth that there alone belongs. Then tell me not I was mistaken. Dost thou not know thine own sweet songs? Dost thou
That's all for today, folks. But I'll be back again tomorrow with more songs and another true story that happened once upon our time. Until then, my name is Jack Kilty, and I bid you good day. And I thank you for letting me wander your way. Please tune in tomorrow, and you'll hear me say, I oodle, I oodle, I oodle, I ay.
You have been listening to Once Upon Our Time, a quarter hour of music and human interest stories featuring NBC's young baritone and storyteller, Jack Kilty. You'll be back tomorrow at the same time, so tune in, won't you, for 15 minutes of favorite songs and stories that happened once upon our time.
I yodel, I yodel, I yodel.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.